Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here, host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. Always a privilege and a pleasure to come before you. And we have a terrific show for you today. And this is kind of where I get to say very modestly and humbly, of course, I told you so. I said crypto was making the rebound, and we are beginning to see this full-fledged, and we're not just, I'm not just saying that because I'm interviewing Guy Gottschalk, who's the CEO of My Digital Money, but what I'm talking to you about, ladies and gentlemen, are people across the board. People in our audience are telling me this, so I just think it's absolutely fantastic, you know, what we're seeing with Guy and his company, but this is, I think, an escape mechanism, too, for some really bad things going on around the world. So, Guy, welcome to the show. Really glad you could join us, and it's kind of an exciting time to be in finance, isn't it?
Very exciting, and thank you again for having me.
Absolutely. Well, I'm anxious to jump into this, but I want to start with something political. As you know, I'm sure, Biden has signed a new crypto executive order. I want our audience to know what this is about, and in addition, I'd like to know how this is going to affect the average person.
Yeah, so the crypto executive order was signed back in March, and essentially the order asked government agencies to form committees and research cryptocurrencies and work towards creating a regulatory framework for crypto assets. And it was all about kind of mitigating risks and national security risk and you know, looking at consumer protections, and, you know, just looking at how do we create a regulatory framework to allow for the innovation to continue. And so that was signed back in March, and Biden gave about, I think it was about 6 months to the various agencies to come out with reports. And since then, the, you know, various agencies have been coming out with reports, I think. They're supposed to publish or have published a total of 21 reports. So in September, a lot of those have come out. And in my opinion, not so consequential, the reports, I would say. You have one that was published by the U.S. Treasury recently, and it hinted at a federal regulatory structure and emphasized that a central bank digital currency may have serious support. And that the government should continue to research it, but there was nothing concrete in terms of we should create it. The general conclusion was we should create it if it's in the U.S.'s national security interest. Now, who decides who's going, you know, if it's in their interest or in the national security interest and when? Not sure, right? And so overall, it's, you know, nothing new has really come out since the executive order was signed. And I guess, I mean, you could look at the bright side to the White House's new crypto regulation directive and that there isn't much to threaten the progress of the technology and crypto's mainstream adoption. So that's the bright side of it. And the negative side of it is that, you know, there isn't enough support in terms of, you know, how do we induce innovation? How do we, you know, maybe create grants or, you know, kind of motivate people to harness the benefits of this technology? There isn't enough of that in the U.S., I think. So overall, I don't think it has a huge effect to your question on investors yet. I think in the long run, it's good to have some regulation because it will bring more players into the game, right? There's a lot of companies that aren't moving forward because they don't know, like, am I regulated by the SEC? Am I regulated by the CFTC?
Yeah, there you go.
You know, do I have to register? And so I think, although I don't love regulation, it will bring a lot of, you know, institutions in, more common investors in. And I think in the long run, it will happen, but it just, there isn't enough concrete steps just yet. So
yeah,
overall, I don't think the price is affected too much.
No, I don't either. But I'll tell you why I think this is true. The Europeans are fleeing Europe. I mean, literally and figuratively, They are buying up the dollar like no one's business because the euro is failing. And so our dollar's got a cushion. And their businesses are coming here in great volume. So that adds to the value of the dollar. And I'm just wondering, did the resurgence of the dollar, do you think this has made the crypto issue a little less urgent in the short term?
Well, it's taken away, capital from the industry. I mean, obviously, when the dollar gets stronger, the crypto is affected, and with the interest rate hikes, money's taken out of the economy, and essentially, crypto is treated as a risk on asset right now. I believe it will decouple at some point in the midterm, mid future, midterm, but yeah, I mean, I think right now, as the interest rates go up, crypto gets affected, just like tech stock, risky tech stocks.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree with that. But there's so many moving parts here. Let's talk about that regulation aspect for a second. I remember talking to people like my friend Ernie Hancock, a big activist here in the Phoenix area. He introduced me to the idea of crypto several years ago, and he even put some on my phone. And I said, "I don't really understand all this, Ernie." He sat there and explained it to me. But his big draw, he said, unlike the dollar, the government can't control this. Do you think that there's going to be some resistance to the fact that the feds are saying we're going to step in and provide at least some minimal regulation?
I think that at this point, I choose to take an optimistic view in that, the government can't really control it. And so if you don't support it, you're going to fall behind the rest of the world,
Yeah, I agree with that.
right? The
Yep.
blockchain, blockchain innovation is coming. And so I think that, while, the government could be more supportive, they're at the same time, they're not going to full on ban it, right? And so I think, some of the regulations and the statements and comments that come out of various federal agencies, could affect the price in the short term, right? Like I know that Gary Gensler from the SEC, he made comments about whether proof of stake coins like Ethereum could be considered a security, and that kind of I believe affected the price of Ethereum for a couple of days, but then it bounces back, right? And I think long term, it's not that consequential. It just, it just increases the volatility in the short term.
Yeah, I agree. A lot of people are going to look at this though and say the feds are going to regulate it so they can crush it because they don't want competition with the dollar. How would you respond to that? Because I have heard that from some economists.
Yeah, I think that's true in some to some extent. I think, I don't think they're going to flat out ban it, right? Because that's not going to be a good look, and it's not going to look like it's in the interest of the people, right? And so it usually comes in disguise, right? It usually comes in the form of, for example, we want to protect consumers, right?
Yeah,
We
there you
want to
go. Yeah.
protect from fraud, and some people think that a lot of that has to do with control.
It's for the children,
So I.
guy. It's they're going to protect the children. That's what they always
Yeah.
say, yeah.
Right. You can look at it either way. Maybe there's some truth to it, but also there has to be some element of control, is what a lot of people think as well. At the end of the day, it's going to work itself out in the long run. It just takes time. There's always some resistance, with new technologies. And at the end of the day, we prevail, and innovation prevails, right?
I agree. I do think, well, let me put it this way. This will abhor my audience. I'll say this because I'm an economic libertarian. But I've seen chicanery in every economic aspect of our lives. It doesn't matter what it is. There is some level of corruption because human nature is what it is. There's always going to be a few bad actors. And I think that regulation here, if it's not regulation and control, but regulation, could actually provide legal recourse for people to deal with the bad actors.
Yeah. I think if the regulation is done right, then I think it could be positive. But in either case, it's it legitimizes crypto, right, to have regulation.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. And Biden's executive order clearly covers this. Do you think that Biden's executive order legitimizes crypto?
Yeah, definitely, right? It recognizes it, and it essentially tells various agencies that, hey, you have to figure out how to make this, where have to, how to make this part of the system, and provide more clarity. And I think it's the agencies are slow to provide clarity. We still don't know if a token is a security or not, and to this day, it's very hard to know. Am I going to be regulated by the SEC or the CFTC?
Right.
I believe eventually, with enough crying, it'll get worked out, but it's still plaguing the industry right now, and holding it back. But it'll work itself out.
Do you think, let's just put our hypothetical hats on just for a second. Let's say the dollar moves away from the enrichment it's going through right now, and let's say it moves towards a cataclysmic fall due to debt and interest rates. Is crypto the escape hatch?
I think it's one of them. I always tell people that I invest in it as a diversification strategy. In my retirement savings, I have crypto as one pile, right? The risky pile, if you will, because that's the one that I believe has the biggest potential for gains, right? I've seen, over the last 5 years, hundreds of percent gains. And, I haven't seen that with my other assets. So even if I have, a tenth of my portfolio is crypto, and, it's the smallest portion, if it outperforms, 5X, the other assets, then I've protected myself, right? I have an extra cushion, right? And so I think it should be part of an investment strategy. Because if you look at Bitcoin, for example, over many 5-year periods, I mean, it's performed very well, right? As long as you're looking at it long term, and, obviously over the last, whatever it is, 6, 7, 8 months, it's lost 60-70%, but still, if you look at it compared to where it was 5 years, it's still at a nice gain, right?
Exactly. And so, yeah, and that's true for any asset, though. Whether you're talking about your stock holdings,
right,
or gold or silver, or the dollar or bond market, that's true across the board. That's not unique. That's every financial instrument. I don't know why people freak out over that. I shake my head. You wouldn't believe the volatility some people will express when you bring up crypto and digital, and I think it's they're afraid of it because they don't understand it.
Yeah, it's a lot of what we call in the industry FUD, fear, uncertainty, and doubt.
Exactly. I totally agree with that. So I wanted to plug another question in here to the executive order from Biden. So I wanted to ask, what should investors know about how it could possibly affect their current investments?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's something to watch because, in my opinion, it's not going to be very consequential. I think, if anything, as we get more clarity, that the prices could rise. So it's just a matter of when. When is that clarity coming? Because, any event that, let's say that new legislation is passed that gives a lot more clarity, that could affect the price in a positive way. And similarly, if things come out, if there's some obstacles, it could affect it in a negative way, but in the very short term, right? So long term, I think that it's going to be a positive thing as we have more, clarity and a better framework. So I think because it's happening, right, and because, the executive order exists and agencies are complying with it and putting in a lot of effort and time and money into it, I think long term, it's very positive. So if you're looking to make money in the long term, I think it's a positive sign. But in the short term, if you're looking to make money, then it's good to watch, the various developments, because, for example, if you think that there's about to be some more clarity from an agency coming out in a report, maybe it's a good time to, you know, put a trigger order on our platform, for example, where, you know, if the price goes up 10%, you sell. Because after news like that, maybe the price will bump up and then it will come back down, right? And so, you know, you can use those short-term news developments to make a quick buck, right? But overall, I think long-term, it's a good thing.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, there are peaks and valleys that you need to be aware of, but I do agree with you. It's for the long-term. And I liked your answer about diversification. I have preached this for years. People say, the dollar, I'm freaked out, I'm freaked out. And I said, if you're diversified, you'll be able to ride the crest. And this is what just people don't get it. And is it because we're brainwashed that the dollar is the only way to go?
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of it. You know, you have gold and silver as well. And I think that's also a good option if you want to just preserve wealth. But crypto is good because you can also build wealth, in my opinion.
Okay. And I totally agree. See, whether people want to accept it, it's kind of like rock and roll music is here and the big band era is all upset because it's Satan's music. I mean, we're going through a sea change, a cultural shift, an economic shift, and people got to realize this is here to stay. This is crazy. Well, I want to ask you a general question. No, again, it's a little bit about the executive order again. Could this executive order... could this lengthen the bear market with regard to crypto? I mean, how do you see this all playing together?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be that consequential, like I was saying before. I think the biggest thing affecting the bear market is just the macroeconomic environment and the inflation. And I think, you know, we're expecting two more rate hikes this year. I think the market thinks, in all probability, it's going to be 75 basis points for each one. And I think that has a much bigger effect on the bear market. And so that is essentially what, basically it's inconsequential.
Okay. That's an answer that I thought you were going to give, and I totally agree with it. There's a term out there called crypto winter. And I hope it's not being confused with Biden's proclamation, we're going to have a dark winter. What does the term crypto winter mean?
It basically just means an extended period of time where you're in a slump and, you know, prices are down for an extended period of time. I think it came from a TV show, Game of Thrones. Winter's coming is what they said in the show. So it kind of caught on in crypto land. And it's just, yeah, it's an extended period of kind of, you know, price slumps or, you know, where the market is essentially moving sideways. And the last winter we had was 2018, and I think it lasted for close to 3 years. And we're seeing another one right now, but I don't think, I mean, it's just an opinion, not financial advice. I don't see it lasting more than another 1 to 2 years.
Well, I hope you're right, because that certainly goes against the mainstream media prognostications, which I don't pay attention to, but I really hope you're right. Will assets like crypto and precious metals and so forth, do you think that'll help bring us out of these doldrums quicker than if they didn't exist?
Yeah, I think they certainly help because they give Americans an alternative. So they certainly help individuals from a financial perspective. And I think, the crypto as well helps. So they both have a place in your portfolio.
Okay, well, so let's get down to what you would do, because you're the expert and that's why you're here. How do you personally invest during the crypto winter? What kinds of things do you look at, and what does that lead you to do?
Yeah, so I play both sides of the market. And so right now, obviously, when the prices are down, it's a good buying opportunity. Of course. So, you know, they say buy the dip, and that's what a lot of wealthy people have done in their lives, is when others are running the other way, they buy. It's a good opportunity. And it's difficult to do that. I mean, I fall into the same trap where when the market is doing well and there's so much hype, then I buy. But then I end up buying when the price is high instead of buying when no one's buying. So I think that's one of the things I try to do is just buy the dip. And then also I park cash in my account so that I can be ready to buy. In case, I think a rally is coming up and, we have trigger orders in our platform. So that way I can set, when the price goes up a certain amount, sell. And then when it goes back down, I can buy a little bit. Right. I also try not to time the market. So I try to buy a little bit each time instead of trying to, predict when we're going to be at the bottom. I think that's pretty impossible to do. And so I try to buy a little bit each week or each month instead of trying to take a big bet that we're at a bottom and buy a bunch. And I also try like new coins and strategies. So I like to experiment with the different coins we have in our platform to see what works in certain situation. We also have a play money account that I mentioned to you in the past. So I can test different strategies even without using my own money. So if there's a new coin or, there's I think that, for example, there was a big merge with Ethereum, right? So if I think there's going to be some price movement as a result, like we all expected the merge to happen last week on a specific date, right? And so I can, play around with strategies around what might happen with that coin, right? So, I try to do research on different coins, different events that come up, and you can just click on the coin itself in our platform and see news about it. So you can see, okay, maybe there's upcoming news that might affect the price. So I try to play around with different, coin strategies and just ride the trend, right? As I tell people, like many become uncomfortable, staying in downward trend. I just hold my ground and, I invest what I can afford to keep on the side, right? If I need the cash flow, I won't invest it because I need to be able to ride it out and, stay in for the long run. So, if we're at a down market for a year or two, I need to be able to wait that out and just know that the price will go back up.
Yeah, you know what you're really espousing here, Guy, and it's something that a lot of Americans lack, and I don't mean this to be cruel, but it's my observation, and that's patience. That's trusting it. I mean, when I was a college basketball coach, and sometimes you'll come out and you'll get off to a poor start, and I wouldn't panic. I didn't yell at my players. I just say, hey, look, trust in what we do, and what we do over time will end up working. And more times than not, that ended up being pretty good advice. And that's kind of what I'm hearing you say here. And that's true. Trust in what you know works.
Right. And be patient. That's good.
I really like that. Okay, so, but let's look at the flip side, because you always have to plan for that rainy day. So what are the kind of mistakes that people need to avoid when they get involved in crypto?
Yeah, I think I alluded to it before, timing the market, right?
I think it's
pretty impossible to consistently time the market. So I would say don't try to guess. Dollar cost average is one way to deal with that.
Can you explain what that is, dollar cost average?
Yeah, so let's say Bitcoin is at, 23,000 and I believe, there's a bottom, or people believe the bottom is 20,000 and I'm waiting for that. So rather than waiting for 20,000, maybe that 20,000 will never come and then I never buy and the price ends up going up and I lost an opportunity. So instead of doing that, you just buy, every week. So maybe it's 23,000 this week, then it's 22,000 the next week, then it's 21,000. So you're buying a little bit each time and you're lowering your average cost to get in. So at the end of the day, like if you look at it over time and you take a dollar cost average strategy versus, someone that's just trying to get the best price all at once, in the long run, statistically, the dollar cost average strategy wins because you end up getting a more optimal, average cost of your crypto that you bought. And so that just kind of what works, statistically.
Yeah.
And so that's a good strategy, I think. But yeah, just timing the market is very hard to do. But I would still follow the lead of the charts and technicals. And but at the end of the day, it's really hard to time the market. So that's one mistake I see people making, and then they lose out on opportunities.
Okay. Well, that does make a lot of sense. Again, it speaks to a maturity that's needed for investment. As you know, Biden has hired or is in the process of hiring 87,000 IRS agents. A lot of people think they're coming after the little guy. I don't think so. I think they're going to put eyes on crypto because crypto and taxes has been controversial. Can you address that issue for us?
Yeah, I think that could be true. It's all speculation, but I do think that crypto is going to be part of their efforts, right? Because a lot of people think that they can evade taxes on crypto. I don't think they can do that forever. I think one way to do it is to do a crypto IRA with us, for example. We offer that, and so that's a legitimate way to not pay taxes on your gains.
Can you explain, for someone who doesn't know, could you explain how that works?
Yeah, so you can open a individual retirement account, either a Roth or a traditional or various other kinds, just the normal IRA accounts that you have that, you know, a lot of people use big companies like Fidelity and Charles Schwab. And, you know, you can it's like a 401k, but it's outside of your current employer. You can do that with us, and then you can buy and sell crypto in that account. So it's called a self-directed IRA. So it's not like there's a fund that someone's managing for you. You just, you know, let's say you put in, you know, you contribute $6,000 a year. You know, you could also transfer existing funds that you have from the past, and then you can use those funds to trade. And the gains that you make, let's say you buy at $50,000 and you sell at $100,000, you make $50,000, and you either defer your taxes until you retire or you don't pay them at all, depending on the type of IRA you have. And you can then reinvest those gains back in. So you can, you know, have compound growth that way. And so that is one way to kind of mitigate the losses of taxes.
Yeah, well, they are losses. There's no question about that. You know, I think we could argue to some degree they're necessary losses, but they are losses. But you talked about you might not have to pay taxes at all. Under what condition is this perfectly above board and legal? Could you talk about that process with regard to a crypto IRA?
Yeah, so when it comes to a Roth IRA, you don't have to pay taxes on your gains. So you put in post-tax money, and you know you don't have, you're exempt from paying taxes on the gains that you have. Traditional IRA is different. You don't pay taxes initially, so you take pre-tax money, you put that in, and then you get taxed later when you take out distributions. So a Roth IRA would be a way to not pay taxes on your gains.
Okay, so I guess I'm going to ask the really obvious question here, but I am curious. When people come to My Digital Money, do they gravitate towards the Roth IRA for this taxation benefit, or are people generally ignorant and don't even know?
Yeah, I'd say it's about 60% Roth, and I don't know the exact numbers. I'm guessing because I haven't looked at the numbers lately, but I'd say it's split down the middle. There's good reasons to do both. Generally, if you believe that crypto is really going to explode, you might do a Roth because you don't ever want to pay taxes on the huge amount of gains that you had, right? It also depends on where you are right now with your salary and what you believe your tax bracket is going to be, you know, later in the future versus where it is now. There's a lot of considerations. You essentially would talk to your, tax advisor and figure out which one is best for you.
I'll give you my tax advisor, the IRS. The rates are going up 2-3% next year in every income bracket. So that's why I don't know everyone who's coming in wouldn't at least put some of what they're doing into a crypto Roth. I think it's a no-brainer, given what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm a big fan of Iraq, because I do believe that my gains are going to explode long term. So, I'm a fan, but it's really a personal preference.
Well, I know your customer service is really good. And I know that when people are, they're hearing these questions I'm asking you, I'm trying to ask them like a layman might ask. And but when they call in, they just don't get call center people, do they? You're getting experts that could actually answer the kind of questions I'm asking you.
Right. Yeah. So that's one of our differentiators is, we want to make it as easy as possible. So our platform is very easy to use, but also we have people that can help you sign up or help you figure out how to use the platform or just answer questions about crypto in general. So we just wanted to reduce the friction, and help people invest in it in an easy way.
Okay.
So it's really meant for anybody to use.
Your answers have been so well reasoned, but I'm going to try to challenge you here now, Guy. You got the crashing market, you got inflation, recession, and I don't think there's any question. Recession is defined as 2 consecutive quarters of negative growth. We've already had that. So even if we don't have it now, you still have to say we're in the throes of a recession. So you got recession, and so how is this going to affect retirement savings? All these variables I mentioned, what about retirement? Because I'm hearing people scream about it.
Yeah, so obviously, where we're at right now affects retirement a lot. You have inflation over 8%. So let's say that you have 2 million saved in your IRA. It's now going to be worth like 1.4 million, something like that. And the market dropped 20% recently as well. So that value drops even more. You have to find a way to keep up with these losses, and one way is to have a risky pile, right? And that's why I like crypto for me personally, because if I gain over the next 5 to 10 years, if I've gained hundreds of percents, if I gain, let's say, even 500%, and it's a small part of my portfolio, but it could keep up with those kind of losses, right? And help me essentially protect myself from what's happening. I think it really obviously really affects your retirement a lot, with this inflation and everything that's happening.
Let me ask a question out of ignorance here. I liked your example here. You explained what inflation did to someone who's got $2 million in one of these accounts, and now because of the 8% inflation, it's worth 1.4 million. Where does that 0.6 million go? Does it just evaporate into thin air, or is this wealth transfer?
Yeah, it was 1.84 million, but yeah, it's more that the value, obviously, from inflation of your money is decreasing, right? Your buying power is decreasing. So essentially, it's like having 1.84% instead of 2 million,
Right.
because that 2 million can't buy you as much. And also, when you look at inflation, a good indicator I like to look at is what we call core inflation, which takes out, the volatile assets like energy and, corn and stuff, because that obviously, like that, from time to time, it can mask, how bad inflation really is, because energy, for example, like gas prices have gone down recently, but it's not because of, because inflation is getting better. It's because demand has gone down, because people are trying to save money, so they might not be driving as much or whatever, and so the energy price, the gas price goes down. But if you look at consumer goods, the inflation is still really bad, and not getting any better. So when you look at core inflation, you see how bad the situation is.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. But I want to go back to my question, though. When you have loss of retirement income because of the eroding factor of inflation, does anybody benefit from this practice? Is there someone back there going, oh, this is good for me, bad for the public?
Well, I guess there's always someone that's going to benefit, but I think largely it's we all lose, right? I think largely we all lose, and That's why we're raising interest rates now, and we're trying to get inflation under control.
I don't think raising taxes is the way to do it. This is killing America. The Federal Reserve, in my book, I look at them like a suicide bomber right now. We should be cutting taxes and producing oil and doing all the things we got to do to get back to normal. But that's another discussion for another time. But I am not a Federal Reserve fan at all. And I do agree with you. There's
Right.
going to be two more raises of interest rates. It's cutting people out of the home market. And, oh, wow, it's bad. So we got to look for alternatives. And this is why we're having this
Yeah, that's
discussion.
Exactly why we have crypto.
Exactly. There
that's
you go.
Exactly why we have crypto.
You just stole the words right out of my mouth, guy. It's exactly where I was going with that. Because if you can't outrun this inflation, your standard of living is going to continue to decrease.
Right.
That's
with Bitcoin, you know, you can't just decide to produce more. There's a fixed amount, and you can't just mismanage the supply there like you can with the dollar. So that's exactly why crypto was created.
So when we look at retirement plans, you're looking at crypto as a fix to stop the bleeding from the inflation. Is that a fair summary?
Yeah. I think it's one tool in your arsenal. And I think as time goes, passes and you have more adoption, it's going to be even better. It's going to be an even better hedge against inflation. But right now, it's kind of moving with the NASDAQ. But at some point, it's going to decouple. And once the adoption picks up, and you look at all the institutional adoption, that it's continuing to rise. It's continuing to go up. You have new cases every day. I mean, even NASDAQ has gotten into the game. And you have, you know, Visa and MasterCard, are going to allow you to pay in crypto at the point of sale. I think the adoption is closely following the adoption of the internet, actually. I saw an interesting graph the other day where you could see the adoption of the internet in the 90s and early 2000s. And the adoption of crypto is pretty much like right in line with the adoption of the internet. So.
Well, that's you kind of jumped to where I was going. I want to take this to a little higher level. You're talking kind of about a transitory replacement for traditional investment here with crypto, at least transitory, but will it ever become permanent? Will crypto potentially, let me ask the big question, ever replace currency, the dollar? Will it take its place in some way?
I'm not sure that it will take the place of it. I think that it's, They both will have a place in our society. They both will have a place, but I think crypto just gives people more freedom, more opportunity. I've heard people in the industry say that they hope it will, and it will become the world reserve currency. But I just don't know if governments will ever let that happen. But certainly, you know, blockchain is going to revolutionize industries and give us new ways of that we haven't even thought of, you know, like healthcare, for example. You know, everything is, all the data is, you know, protected by providers, and the patient doesn't own their own data, and they can't just take it with them. The blockchain can change all of that, right? It can really turn industries upside down and make them way better. So
I'm going to ask you a sixth grade question, guy, because I'm willing to bet a fair number of my audience, through no fault of their own, they just haven't had that life experience yet, but they're probably saying, blockchain, what is blockchain? How could you simply describe it so the layman could understand it?
Yeah, that's always a challenge because, you know, not the easiest concept. You have to kind of read about it a few times, but essentially it's a distributed ledger. It's a system that doesn't require a third party to store your data and to validate transactions. So you don't need a bank, for example. You have a network of computers that store the ledger and that validate your transactions. And it's done in a way that it's impossible to hack, and is essentially no one can tamper with that ledger because it's distributed on multiple nodes, and you would have to hack into every single computer And so it's considered permanent. Anything that gets put into the blockchain, like let's say you have a transaction, I just paid you $10, that's going to be on that ledger and no one can tamper with that ever. And so it's a way to essentially not have a third party, and have a really robust, network that governs your applications.
Okay, I heard two things that got my attention. One, no middleman cost. Number two, it's like a wire transfer that can't be hacked.
Right. And you can do that for a transaction, or you can imagine a lot of other applications as well. So you can essentially you're decentralizing something. So you're taking the middleman out. You can do that with search engines. So instead of having, you're searching Google and Google controls what you see and can censor you or whatever it is, you can have a decentralized system that does search in a more fair way. And
Wow.
so you're leveling the playing field. You're kind of, making life more fair. You talk about finance. You can decentralize all finance. That's what's called decentralized finance, where instead of the bank taking your deposits and robbing you of your, deposits, taking a fee and then also making money off of your deposits. You have $1 million, they're lending it out. And what are you seeing? Like 0.1%? I don't know exactly how much. Very little.
Yeah, exactly.
You can directly lend your crypto and make 6, 7, 8%. So
Well,
that's called decentralized finance.
we about 6% of our audience comes out of Canada. And I want to ask this question because it's not just Canadians that are thinking this. When they had the trucker protest last year, Trudeau, in retribution, he didn't do it while it was going on. In retribution, he came in after the fact and he seized people's bank accounts. Even if they weren't at the protest, but let's say they sent $25 to the effort, boom, their bank account's gone, completely frozen. Can the various forms of crypto, would Trudeau be able to do that with crypto, or jump into that for us? Is there any protection that people have with crypto they wouldn't have over their currency in their bank?
Yeah, so if you are paying in Bitcoin, yeah, Trudeau can't, come in and freeze your crypto account and, reverse those transactions or do anything like that. Or now, if you have a centralized bank account, he can freeze that. But, crypto is not in the control of any one government or one central party.
So, if the Canadian economy was totally crypto and blockchain, Trudeau would have had to find a different way to punish the people. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, and there's a lot of use cases where that's what crypto is meant for. I mean, you see people in Ukraine, they could, the banks froze withdrawals, right? People couldn't get their money and flee the country they wanted, and so they were able to use crypto for that. They were able to, people were able to send over crypto, and no one could freeze that.
That's an excellent
So that's
example.
exactly why crypto is here.
Do the Chinese reject crypto? Because I have a reason for asking that's right along these lines. Do they, do you know?
Yeah, so they banned mining in China, and they're working on, they have their central bank digital currency that they've been working on forever. And so, yeah, that's because, it's about control, of course.
Bingo, you just, Guy, that was a really good answer. And it was something I wasn't sure about when I asked, but well, here's what I do know. The tanks are guarding the banks in China. That's true. Also, too, some of the people have attacked a couple of the banks, and the Chinese are reinforcing their protection. And I'm thinking, gee, okay, that doesn't sound like blockchain or crypto to me. And I wonder if the Chinese even have that and why. If not, the Chinese should all be going to that because of their banking situation. And you just nailed it. So I think people should be looking at this. This is how I look at it and say, you don't have to put everything in crypto, but you better put something in crypto because of what we're talking about here with Trudeau, China, because those forces could be here too as well. That's pretty scary. Well, someone sent me this question to ask you, and so I wanted to get your reaction to this. Ether prices lost over 10% following the merge. Okay, can you unravel that for us and tell us why that happened and what we should expect?
Yeah, so for your audience that doesn't know what Ethereum is a smart contracts platform. So you can essentially write any application you want and have it run on the Ethereum network, which is decentralized. So there's no central control. So all those applications that I told you about, decentralized finance, I talked about healthcare, you can develop those on top of this Ethereum network. And the Ethereum token is what runs the network. And so that Ethereum network, Ethereum is the second biggest crypto out there. And that network has been awaiting a big upgrade for years that essentially takes their consensus mechanism from what we call proof of work to proof of stake. And so what that means is that it's 99.95% more energy efficient. So people always talk about the carbon footprint of Bitcoin and crypto and how it takes so much energy. And of course, the government uses that as one reason, why it's bad. And so Ethereum has been awaiting this upgrade, which makes it much more energy efficient. But the more important thing is that it makes it faster and cheaper and more scalable, right? So you can actually have Visa scale applications.
Okay.
So it allows it to be that in the future. So it's been this big event that happened last week. And so a lot of people would think, oh, why did the price drop 10% after? And I think the biggest reason is people wanted to take profits. Everyone expected it to succeed because there's been so many tests that happened. And so I think once there was a non-event and, essentially it did succeed. I think people just the merge was already priced in and people wanted to take profits. But I think there might have been some effect from one of the statements that Gary Gensler made, the head of the SEC, right? It's like, crypto's so bad, it takes up so much energy, but then he makes a statement that proof of stake tokens, so now Ethereum just changed from proof of work to proof of stake. Now he says proof of stake tokens may be considered securities. He says that the day after the merge, he says that. He doesn't mention Ethereum, but obviously, he has Ethereum in mind, so it can't be that much of a coincidence. And then that, I think that caused some doubt in people's mind, like, oh, can Ethereum now be regregulated? Because,
I
so it's
hear
kind of
no,
like,
you I'm right there with you because he's playing a game. And it's such a joke what they do. Like, who was it? JP Morgan. They were for years. If you even talked about crypto in the workplace, you got fired. And now they got their own.
right.
So I
Yeah.
mean,
Now it's
it's the
like
same thing Gensler's
now
doing.
they declared it now like their number one alternative asset that they recommend for their investors.
I've heard a story that the feds are gonna go to their own crypto. They're gonna invent their own coin. Have you heard that?
That the Fed is gonna have their own you're talking about central bank digital
Yeah,
currency.
exactly. Yeah.
Well, that's what the executive order is looking at, right? It's looking at whether they should have it, but they haven't yet made a decision.
Oh.
But they are researching it.
Okay, well, that tells me they're doing it. I think it's just part of the conditioning process, and I think it's their hedge against a potential failing dollar, which is not failing now. It's on the upswing, but I think it's their hedge. Well, I want to go to just second to what you guys do at My Digital Money. Realize you're probably talking to a lot of people who are lay people. Tell them what they should consider, the steps they walk through, what you guys offer. Basically, sell the average person here on why they should call My Digital Money.
Yeah, well, that's number one is you could call us, like you just alluded to. So, if you have any uncertainties, you don't know what you don't you, you need clarification on exactly what we offer, you can always call us. That's number one. Number two, we focus on security, right? And when you invest with us, your assets are in a trust, right? So, even if we go bankrupt, your assets are in your name. We're not allowed to do anything with them. So like the Celsius and Voyager debacle, people were seen as unsecured creditors, and they would have to wait in line to get their money. It's not going to happen here. So security is really number two, right? We offer security. and education. And so, you know, we have 20 coins now. We're going to get many, many more. But we vet our coins very, very strictly to focus on security. And so you can buy and sell crypto on our platform on your own, but you can also call us as well. And we're going to be getting precious metals. So we're going to have digital gold and silver. So that, you know, allows you to park your crypto or your cash in metals as well. So, and we have a
can I ask you, before you go that, can I ask you why you would do that? What's the benefit?
Yeah. So let's say that you, you bought crypto, you bought Bitcoin at 50,000, it goes up to 100,000. You're now in a bull market and you know that there's always going to be a bull and then a bear market, a bull, you know, it's a cycle. So you can sell it. Now you have 50,000 gain. And let's say you can either leave it in cash, but if you don't trust what's going to happen with the dollar, and you think your money will be, the value will be better preserved in gold or silver, you know, you can now buy gold and silver on the same platform and you can leave it there for however many years, until you're in a, maybe now you're in a bear market and you're ready to buy back into crypto. So now you can switch back into crypto, right? And so, you know, like I said earlier, there's a place for crypto, there's a place for gold, a place for silver, a place for the dollar, right? And so you can switch between all those on our platform because they all make sense at one point or another, right? And so, you know, a lot of people want to buy gold and silver right now. It's not a good, you know, a lot of people are scared of crypto. So if you're in that situation, you can buy that on our platform right now. And later when you think it's a good time to buy crypto, you can switch into crypto.
That, to me, that's a win-win. I really like that idea because this kind of protects you against the volatility of crypto too. If you base some of that in,
exactly.
In precious metals, I like that a lot. That's actually a brilliant strategy. How many other crypto organizations do this? Because I'll be honest with you, I have not heard of this approach.
Yeah, I don't think many do it. I want to say there's a few that are doing it, but I haven't seen that very often. And you know, also we have stable coins, so that's another topic for a whole other day. But you know, you could park your crypto in stable coins as well to guard against volatility.
Can you give us
we have multiple mechanisms.
Can you give us just kind of a thumbnail what you mean by stable coins?
Yeah, so stablecoin is a coin that is pegged to a fiat currency. So, you know, you can have, you know, a coin like Tether or Circle or, you know, there's various coins that they stay, they're pegged to the U.S. dollar. And so the value of the coin doesn't fluctuate. And so, you know, some people swap their Bitcoin for a stablecoin to guard against volatility and then swap back into Bitcoin. And so that's another way to guard against volatility, but again, you're pegged to a fiat. So, you know, the advantage of using gold and silver is, you know, if you don't want to be, you know, pegged to, you really think the dollar is going to be devalued and you want to guard against that, and you would switch into gold and silver, but you know, you have options is my point.
Yeah, I really do. I mean, this is, I got to tell you, Guy, this has been the best interview we've done because I think that what you have done for the average person is like, it's here to stay, folks. This is what you're dealing with. These are parameters. These are variables involved in it because most people don't know because they weren't raised on crypto. They never learned this pretty much in college unless they're now in college at this moment. I think this has really been valuable for our audience. Well, how do people participate? If you were to tell them, okay, you can contact us at My Digital Money. Give us a couple of ways that we can get a hold of you.
Yeah, mydigitalmoney.com. You go on the website, you can click open an account, and you know, you can email us or call us as well. And so if you want to call us, the number is 833-636-2008.
Let's give that again.
So
let's give that again, 833.
Yeah, 833. MDM 2008. So MDM is 636.
Okay.
So 833-636-2008.
Okay, that's beautiful. And mydigitalmoney.com is where you would go to. I'm kind of blown away here by the intricacies of this, but I think people are going to begin to really consider this given the volatile nature of the world we're living in right now. And I do appreciate you taking the time to come on, Guy. This has been very, very informative. And good luck.
Yeah, it
good
was a
luck with
pleasure.
everything. It was really, I'm telling you, you're representing the wave of the future. And I think people are just catching on. So I think you're at the crest. But anyway, thanks for coming on, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you,
Take
Dave.
care.